is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Well, you now see more senators have joined Senator Josh Hawley, about a dozen senators in all, along with dozens in the House of Representatives, that are going to challenge the electoral votes during the January 6th joint session of Congress. They released a statement that went like this: America is a republic whose leaders are chosen in democratic elections. Those elections, in turn, must comply with the Constitution and with federal and state law. The allegations of fraud and irregularities in the 2020 election exceed any in our lifetime. They're asking for the Congress to immediately appoint an electoral commission with full investigatory and fact-finding authority to conduct an emergency 10-day audit on the election returns in all these disputed states. And I would say to you, my fellow Americans, that makes perfect sense, and that's what we've been asking for all along. Now, and I will say to you up front of the program here, if they do not do that, and if there is pushback on that, they should walk off the floor, and then we need to start again. We are up for an incredible week here coming up in politics in America here. Today, I want to talk to you about the political and also the spiritual battle for America. And let me start off here and bring on Evangelist Elvita King. She's Executive Director of the Civil Rights for the Unborn with Priests for Life and founder of Elvita King Ministries. We see this battle happening now in our great country, which, again, it's, and let me start and ask you, do you believe in your heart of hearts, is this more of a political battle right now, or is it a spiritual battle, Elvita?
Malcolm, thank you so much for that question and for the opportunity to speak to you and your listening audience. I apologize. I'm in a public place and I could not find a quieter place. I did my very best to do that, but I wasn't able to. So this is for me a spiritual battle. In other words, people want to make it political and say this is only politics, and if you're going to do church, just go home or try to, you can't go to church right now anyway in America. Some of us can and some of us cannot. So we are dealing with a spiritual battle in 2021 now. So we've moved out of 20 and we're in 2021.
So Elvita, it's a fight then that we often talk about of good and evil, and yet the political operatives have all seek their power, and you can see the sides lining up. Let me ask you, I don't see us at this moment as, if, actually for a lot of moments in past days, as the United States of America. We are so beyond anything close to united in this nation, and there's a lot of reference of a red America and a blue America, but when our differences are so divided, where you have Marxism and communism coming in and evil forces, how could we ever unite with these people when their agenda is such evil?
When you reach a time like we're experiencing here in 2021, we have to realize that this is a time when you can expect a Red Sea to part, when you can expect a high government official like Haman, when we had Mordecai and Esther and the king, to be moved out of power and out of authority. This takes a spiritual response, something from heaven. And the only way we can actually get that is to step beyond politics and not look for to politics and humans for solutions. But we actually have to expect God to do something. And so that's why I've not had any of the conversations. Oh, if this happens, then America will be doomed. If that happens, America can't make it. And it goes back and forth, giving us all of these kinds of examples of what could happen if we don't get that political outcome we expect. Mm-hmm. I'm believing and expecting that God is going to do something very unusual for us. I am encouraged to find out that members in the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States are going to challenge some of these irregularities. You've said yourself that we've never had this kind of fraud and all of that to such a level ever in the United States.
With everything you've seen out there, are you convinced there was fraud in this election?
I personally experienced fraud in Georgia, wherein I have gone to get a ballot and to stand in line and had questions that I wanted to ask and was given improper or no answers about the ballot itself in this last election. I have people who went to vote in Georgia that I know. One man, they gave him his ballot and everything, and he said, "Don't I have to sign something?" They said, "No, you don't have to sign anything. Just go right ahead." He didn't believe it. And he went to another poll worker and they said, "Who told you you didn't have to sign? Of course you have to sign." Mm-hmm. So I know personally of irregularities. I'd like to tell you one more. My goddaughter, Angela Stanton King, was running for Congress in Georgia for the seat of John Lewis. And they had an irregularity at one of her bigger polls and said that there was a plumbing problem. They shut the polls down. Mm-hmm. No plumber was ever called. And then later they found somebody rolling ballots in after that poll closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, say, this is exactly it. It's exactly what we're talking about, Elvita. And really, Elvita, all we really want is the truth. I mean, whoever the proper victor is, we will honor that, but we want the truth. That's not so much to ask, is it?
I believe that a fair vote is a civil right. And if the votes were not fairly taken or gained, I believe they must be challenged. And I am continuing to pray to ask God for justice and mercy along those lines, Malcolm.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Let me read you this short couple of sentences here, Elvita. This is an article that is up on America Out Loud now, and I would like your opinion. It kind of addresses possibly the moment we find ourselves in. And it goes like this. The unprecedented collapse of morals in America, from a country in which right and wrong were clearly delineated, America has become a free-for-all of the drug abuse and sexual deviancy, from gay marriage to LGBT to transgenderism to abortion. America is now the least God-fearing and most immoral nation in the world, bar none. How the mighty has fallen. From first to last in less than a century. What would you say about that, please?
There are still people in America who serve God. We believe there is a God in heaven who is greatest, not just greater, but greatest over any deity or idol or human effort that people can bring. So I believe that there are people in America who are still praying. We are depending and relying on God. So I'm in that group, and I'm expecting great and mighty things from God in the next few days.
So that's true what you say, but yet we're dealing with other people on the other side that are godless, and that is part of the divide that we are not united for in our nation. I want to share with you, Elvita, a quick fable or a parable, please, I would like your insight on. I've been wanting to share this with you. And it goes like this. If you go to the Southwest desert and catch 100 red fire ants, as well as 100 large black ants, and put them in a jar, at first nothing happens. However, if you violently shake the jar and dump them back out on the ground, the ants will fight until they eventually kill each other. The thing is, the red ants think the black ants are the enemy and vice versa, when in reality, the real enemy is the person who shook the jar. That is exactly what's happening in our society today. Liberal versus conservative, black versus white, pro-mask versus anti-mask. The real question we need to be asking ourselves is who is shaking the jar and why? How would you answer that?
I believe certainly that's a beautiful analogy. And the Bible even tells us, look to the ants and you find them everywhere in the palace and everywhere. However, there are variables that we as human beings have. And that is people who will say, I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to fight you. I am going to pray for you. And I am going to believe that God will come in and help us. So my voice remains one of those voices, trusting in God. And I believe if we actually do that, we're going to see what we're seeing now. We do see reversals. I was blessed this past weekend, to go to a concert with young rappers, African-American rappers. And we had asked them not to use profanity and all of that. One of them did use profanity at the beginning, realized that he had agreed not to use profanity, cleaned up into the second song, and then came back and publicly said, I'm so sorry that I said those words. We just wanted to see transformation at our event, and we did. I believe that we have a transforming God and that America can be transformed by the power of God. We just have to have some people who depend on that and believe it.
The words of wisdom from Elvita King, it's exactly why I wanted to start the program off, because the thing about Elvita is she transcends politics and the ruthlessness of so many, and she'll elevate the conversation, and it's a beautiful place to start. Now, over the next 2 hours, we have a very powerful program, probably one of the most powerful we've done to date here. Up next, we'll speak to someone on the ground in Georgia and the Mighty American Strike Force, and also lots about the rally coming up in this week in politics. My fellow Americans, stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
There's a great deal out there that's become very obvious to us. The crime, the destruction of our cities, the defunding the police calls, the tearing down of America's monuments, the corruption. What's not so obvious is where they're getting all the money from to do all of this. I'm here to tell you they're getting the money from you and I, because we're not paying attention to where we're spending the money. And this is a real problem. I've become more conscious in my life when I take out my wallet of where that money is going. I want to know what their values are. Are they given to a lot of the Marxist groups? Are they selling out overseas? Or are they supporting American patriotic businesses and people who care about the country? I'm excited to tell you about a new movement in our country. ShopToTheRight.com. So this is a group of patriots who got together with shared values. They're veteran-owned and operated, and they decided to create a nationwide database and do something about the problem. So you want to go check out all the businesses on there. You can search by category or geography or whatever on there. Go check it out, ShopToTheRight.com. We all need to start using this as a regular point of sale and a way to do business. And on top of that, if you have a business, you can list it there for free as well. The service is totally free. These guys want to make a difference. Now we all need to make a difference with our dollar. It's time, people. We got to do something about it. As I always say, time to get involved and get loud. This is how you do it right here. ShopToTheRight.com. The world will be watching Georgia and Washington, D.C. this week. And you can count on that. The entire world, their eyes will be affixed on those cities to see what the outcomes are here. This, again, political and spiritual battle takes center stage here as the fight continues on to what kind of an America are we going to live in? What are we going to accept? Let me bring on now Tim Alders with me. Tim is known as Mr. Constitution. He's a former talk radio show host, author, and he's been on the ground throughout the campaign working with the Mighty American Strike Force. Now, this is a very large volunteer group throughout the country. I understand that it's a couple of million folks plus that are out there, and you probably know a little bit about that. Tim, I'd like to start. I know you were on the ground in Georgia. I understand that. And Georgia, again, is center stage here in the next several days. Giuliani, in fact, speaking about the overwhelming election fraud in the state of Georgia just the other day. Let me give a, this is what he says, Tim. This is a quote from Giuliani. He says, this was not an accident. This was organized. What happened here in this state is precisely the same thing that happened in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and some of it happened exactly at the same time. So this was Giuliani speaking there. What, being on the ground there in Georgia, what's your sense of, first of all, the Senate race? How is that going? What are you seeing with the fraud there? Give us a sense.
It is just as rampant as it was during the general election, Malcolm, and it's disgusting. It's disgusting. I've seen it with my own eyes. I can never unsee what I've seen. And unfortunately, I do not believe that we are going to hold on to the Senate. It's going to either be 50-50 or we're going to lose it because that's what they want us to do. And the same type of fraud with Dominion, the same type of fraud with more ballots than exist voters is happening, and they're allowing it to happen. It's all a conspiracy for the Democrats to take control. They spent 4 years trying to destroy our president. They said anything, they will resort to any means to destroy Trump, and they have and they will.
Why are not Perdue and Loeffler bringing this to the, do they know it's this is happening, or do they feel like they're going to win? What's your sense?
I don't believe they feel they're going to win. I think they're afraid to bring it to light because they'll be looking at as whiners by the media. They know the media is against them. They know that everything anybody says about voter fraud just gets turned around like they're whining and they're not good enough to carry it on their own. And they're trying to carry it on their own. And I don't believe it's going to happen. I think their confidence is misplaced.
Yeah. I mean, the setup on this is incredible. The fact that we've got two Senate seats hanging in the balance, which this hardly ever happens, which will control the power in the Senate, the balance of the Senate. And as you say, if it's 50-50, the tiebreaker becomes the vice president, clearly as the Senate president, right?
Yeah. And we look at who that is with Kamala Harris, and we're in trouble.
Here's what I'm not understanding, and you and I both, I mean, I'm sure we're shaking our heads. All listeners, everybody out there, all Americans are wondering. I mean, it's like people are pinching themselves, Tim, and they really can't understand what's going on or why somebody can't take control of the system or the situation. Now, let me preference something to you here. There's a lot of talk going on out there, a lot of what I would call cheap talk. For instance, let me give you an example here. Rudy Giuliani, the president's attorney. Now, and I referenced this the week before the holiday on this show, in fact. He said, starting after Christmas, right after Christmas, the challenge to the validity of the November 3rd presidential election results is really going to blow up. Now, those are his words, Tim, really going to blow up. And he told listeners in his own podcast he released, in fact, on Christmas Day that. And he says this, Tim, because the evidence that these crooked television networks, newspapers, big tech, and the leadership of the Democrat Party have been given you is false. And you're going to find it all out at once. Now, this is, again, he says, and you know, he ends it this way here. It's going to be very shocking to the country. Now, here we are now. We're now at the beginning of January here. We know what's going to happen in the next couple of days here. Today being Sunday, we know what's going to happen in Georgia. We know all of that. So why is it he put all that out there and yet you don't really see what's blown up or what's shocking to the country? Where are we at and why isn't all of that anywhere? Any sense?
Well, part of it is when I was on the ground in multiple states, we were collecting affidavits. We were interviewing people who cheated in the elections and helped perpetrate this theft. And we had to turn everything over to Trump attorneys in different states. Every state had their own attorneys to bring it to their own courts. And we were sworn to silence. Some organizations doing it had to sign NDAs that they couldn't take it out there. Part of the reason was the mainstream media was never going to allow it to be broadcast. I mean, without shows like yours, America Out Loud, they can't even get this message out there on the mainstream. We had videos from Las Vegas of girls in dorms that the Democratic Party hired to steal ballots and fill them out fraudulently. Mm-hmm. We had people that were picked up a week after the general election, driven to a building, the Martin Luther King building in Las Vegas, and tens of thousands of people signing ballots. So all the signatures looked different. So the Dominion machines went pick it up and still recorded them, backdated. It goes to the court. The court throws it out. Media doesn't pick it up. Nobody hears about it. And they keep trusting in Fox and CNN to break this story. And we know that's never going to happen.
You're making me think a moment here when you talk about the NDAs in the various states. Now, as I understand it from folks, there are thousands and thousands of affidavits at this point, Tim. Is that correct?
My small team of about 30 in Las Vegas in 2 days got over 4,000 affidavits.
Wow.
There were hundreds of teams my size in Las Vegas, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Detroit, Georgia. All these places had teams just like that having the same type of success.
Oh, wow. So you're saying the amount of affidavits is huge, significant. Now, let me ask you, did you personally have to sign any NDAs?
I refused to sign an NDA. That's why I'm talking to you about it.
I see. Well, you're a journalist. You've been there throughout the years, so that doesn't surprise me. But a lot of people did sign the NDAs?
Lots of people did. They wanted to volunteer. They wanted to help. It's thrown in front of them, and they did. Mm-hmm. Now, also how it worked is I would deliver 500 affidavits to the attorneys, and the attorneys would start looking for it and say, this one's good. This one's fantastic. No, this one's not going to make a case. So out of probably 40,000 affidavits in Las Vegas, they might have taken 5,000 to court, which is still proof of fraud.
And that's what I'm hearing in a lot of states, exactly what you're saying there. The amount of affidavits are pretty incredible. Here's what I'm wondering, Tim. It's just come to me now. I see Giuliani's messages. I see the president, what he's saying as well. And now I'm wondering, we're all wondering when the other shoe drops. And everybody's anticipating something. We thought, as Giuliani mentioned, right after Christmas. Of course, now we're in January here. The president has a tweet out here. Let me read this to you. And I'm just wondering what the strategy is behind all these attorneys and all these states demanding NDAs and pushing the Money American Strike Force to sign all of these. They obviously wanted to guard the information. Now, like you say, the media is not going to divulge you to put it out there. So then what's the purpose? Are they saving it for some other moment? And then I see president's tweet and he says this, Tim. He says, massive amounts of evidence will be presented on the 6th. Now, this is the first time I've seen him say the actual 6th is where the evidence is being presented, because people like me have been waiting for this presentation to the American people of the evidence, specifically not just all the, drive-bys of, this, that, and the other, but really the concrete, massive, widespread fraud that we've been talking about. He then says, we won big. And he wrote this on Twitter, and he announced that the evidence of this, all this election fraud, will be presented on that joint session of Congress. What do you make of that, Tim?
Well, it's a strategy, because we knew what the courts were thinking. We've heard of judges being threatened in Georgia and Pennsylvania, their families being threatened by the Democrats. You got to understand, the Democrats will resort to any means to destroy this country. I firmly believe it now. I've seen it. I believe it. So what better place to present it than to Congress? And during a televised congressional meeting with Pence presenting it and the Republicans jumping on board. Now, we have Republicans that are just as dangerous to our Constitution and our republic as we do Democrats. So whether or not anything will become of it, I doubt it. But it'll be out there and it'll be proven, and there'll be millions of people in Washington trying to hold these senators accountable.
So it could be that we're going to see some very unusual and interesting moments in the next week. Are you anticipating, you're anticipating something to happen here this next week? And I guess what I'm asking is, we talk about it, Tim, does that really happen? Or next week when you and I chat, do we say, well, that was cool, but we kind of went out with a wimp or a whimper and nothing really happened? Is that really even in the ball game here? Or do you see this thing coming to a major point of confrontation?
I think the 71 million plus people, I think about 30 million of those who voted for Trump are tired of it. They've seen it. They've witnessed it. They believe it. And it's on us, Malcolm. It's everybody sits back and thinks Trump can fight this battle alone against evil. It depends on us on January 6th, when this evidence is made public, whether we bow down to slavery and allow the change to be put on us, or if we stand up and take our constitutional rights and fight back.
You always make me think, Tim, I'll tell you. Let me talk to you next about the Electoral College specifically and the challenge of the Electoral College. One of the things that got a lot of attention just a few days ago, Tim, as you see, was Senator Josh Hawley coming out, the Republican out of Missouri. And boy, he made it very clear he was going to contest this thing. And of course, eyebrows went up from coast to coast there. Now, in addition, we don't know how many other senators right now, because a lot of them have not showed their hand yet. They've not played their hand out or even showed or talked to anybody to know what they're going to do. There's been suggested there are many others that are going to do that as well. Now, we do know, Tim, there are dozens and dozens of House GOP lawmakers that are going to challenge the Electoral College vote. Now, if these lawmakers challenge a state's Electoral College votes, then what happens is, what I understand, Tim, and I want you to speak to this, the Trump campaign itself will make the presentation. That's what the president, I believe, is referring to on the 6th. And this requires, this challenge now lawfully and legally requires a senator and a representative. You have to have somebody from both sides make this challenge. And it was, and we'll get into Pence in a moment ago, but what do you make of what I say there with the Electoral College being, you know, because there was a lot of disputes with the courts with Pence this past several days as well. What do you make of this challenge to the Electoral College vote?
This is all strategy from Trump. Trump is so intelligent, and people do not give our president the credit he deserves. Pence asked the judge himself not to allow the lawsuit to go through because Pence has to look like he is looking at this fairly. And he will look at this fairly. The Trump campaign will present this. The delegates will read their Electoral College votes, how they came in. And Pence has, under the Constitution, the right to throw out the delegates if he feels fraud was there and take alternate delegates. Now, there's a lot of question as to whether that's true or not, but it is there. It is said. It's never had to come to this. But the Democrats were trying to do this exact same thing back in 2016, if you remember correctly, and 2012. So it's interesting that they claim that there's this massive voter fraud. They're the first ones that claim Dominion was corrupt. And now their arguments are being used against them and they're terrified.
Of course, remember back then in those elections, everything was Russia. Remember, Tim, it wasn't what we're dealing with now, but they pinned everything on Russia. And it really had nothing to do with that, as we found out through all of the Mueller cases and everything else that had happened. And then they tried to find whatever they could to shake the president loose. Pence, the vice president, Mike Pence, he's argued there was a lawsuit filed, as you know, from Louie Gohmert out of Texas to say that Pence's role of the president should be the deciding factor of this. And he can discredit at his sole discretion whatever electoral votes are not, appropriate or not. And of course, Pence and his attorneys argued back that he's not the correct defendant of the lawsuit. He wants nothing to do with it. And so then, and the courts just did this. They just held it up and said that Pence doesn't, it's not his fight. You know, a lot of people are calling out Pence at this point. Some very famous people in the country are calling out Pence, saying he really, how do I say to you and still be a gentleman here, wussied out, that he didn't follow through with what he did. What's your sense about Pence? And could he have done more than he wanted to do? I've even seen reports, by the way, Tim, and I don't know if you've seen this as well or what the American people have seen. I've seen reports that he wanted to resign and actually tried to do that on Trump. I've even seen reports to that point. What have you heard, seen, or know about this?
So what I speculate on what's going on, because I don't know. He wasn't the correct defendant. If you know anything about the Constitution, listing him as a defendant in that was stupid because he is the ultimate decision maker. The defendant should have been the state delegates. We're suing the state delegates that they are committing fraud, and we want to turn it over to whoever the presidency assigns as the person, which would be Pence, to oversee and appoint new delegates. He's not a defendant. He had to ask to be released because they were making it look like he was committing fraud. nobody can probably understand the pressure Pence is under. Longtime person in Washington, D.C., Democrats know him, Republicans know him, lobbyists know him. The threats are out there. And he just don't want to be involved in this fight because he sees it as a no win, because the American people, we the people, are not stepping up to defend our Constitution. We're relying on two people, Pence and Trump, to fight this fight. And it's not just Democrats they're fighting against. They're fighting against an organization that has been there for decades that recruit people like Mitt Romney to run as a Republican who also wants to destroy our Constitution. They've used our own money to organize the enemy against us, and it's insane that we are not participating in this.
You mentioned President Trump being a very strategic player. Now, I would agree with you, and probably all listeners would agree with that as well. We've seen the president being a multi-level chess player. We've commented on it many times over the many years. But this thing is becoming a wild game where I think the American people are waiting to see who is going to checkmate at this point, who's going to do the checkmate move. What does your gut tell you now that when we wake up on the 21st of January, what's going to take place? And I hear your reference to the 30 plus million Americans who need to wake up out of bed and get, connected and anointed with the truth. But what's your sense of what does your heart really say?
Well, this is what my heart really says, and people aren't going to like it because people tend to not like the truth. I think the conspiracy against America and against the Constitution has been going on for so long, and we've closed our eyes to it for so long, and we've allowed them to put generations into debt to utilize that money to arm against us. They've created Antifa. It started with the 99% movement, and then Antifa, and then Black Lives Matters. They've armed them. They've weaponized them. They are not afraid to tear apart cities, to tear apart towns. They have now, with COVID, destroyed the middle class by making businesses shut down. On January 21st, we're going to have a decision. There is no healing this nation. We are split down the middle of two different ideologies. We are like North and South Korea. We are like East and West Germany. We are like Russia before it was divided into, when it was the Soviet Union, before it was split up. The difference with where we're at today is when the Civil War happened, Lincoln didn't have the constitutional authority to fight that war. He did it. We probably would have been taken over if we allowed ourselves to split at that time. So I'm not going to argue the benefits versus the negative outcome of that war. But we have the right to separate. And sometimes separation in a marriage is good. Sometimes separation in a country is good. Mm-hmm. We have funded other countries to overthrow their governments. They want to take away our guns. Why? They put guns in the hands of children in multiple countries throughout Africa and the Middle East, grenade launchers, rocket launchers, tanks into the hands of 13-year-olds. It's time, because we're never going to see eye to eye, that we split this country.
Let me remind all of us, Tim, I went and looked a little bit about in our growth over the past couple of hundred years. Now that we're 245 years in the year 1800. Okay, Tim, we had 5.5 million people in America. In 1900, we had 76 million people in America. In 1950, we had 152 million. Today, in now 2021, we have 330 million here, approximately now. So the growth, back then there were less people to consolidate into what we wanted to be when we grow up. Now America has really gone past the puberty stage now. And we are at that point. We have so many people to decide. And so you talk about state secession, and we talk a lot about the red America and the blue America. Now, you really believe it is that there is no heel in this country, and the fact that America really, I would suggest you, we're a union, a republic of independent states, each free, kind of, and it comes together under the limits of federalism to become the United States of America. So you believe that there's no heel in that, Tim, and you think we're at the point now where something's going to have to give?
I believe so. They don't want a hill. The Democrats have proven to us over the last 4 years they don't want a hill. They want a divide. And why? Because if we are fighting with each other, if we're arguing about race, if we're arguing about sex, if we're arguing about faith, then we will never focus our attention on them gathering their money and their resources and making themselves more powerful. And we have to look at it this way. People always say that we don't have the legal right to separate. The Declaration of Independence was a separation. We are not under contract with all 50 states. We're a compact, an agreement between states. And it states that when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, that defines where we're at. And it was very intelligent of Virginia, New York, and Rhode Island. They refused to ratify the Constitution unless they could put a clause in their ratifications that permitted them to withdraw from the Union if it became necessary because of the inability to work with the other states. And then when the other states joined, remember, it started as colonies, the rest of the people were admitted as states, they maintained the same rights of the original 13 colonies, giving them the same rights as Rhode Island, Virginia, and New York.
Interesting with those three states, and their politics are really to the blue today. I mean, they are far indoctrinated with more very liberal, progressive, socialist, Marxist Democrats, I guess. Those states almost fall to the other side of the battle, don't they, Tim?
They do. They fall on the other side of the battle, but they were the ones who protected the rights for everybody else to make sure that everybody understood that we're a compact and not a contract.
Right, right. Now, the rest of the states pretty much are in, they don't have that clause in there. They're not under the same contract.
Texas has that clause. Oklahoma has that clause. Some of the earlier states that came on made sure they inserted that clause in their original constitutions. But the rest, it was secured just under their admittance to come into the Union, that they maintained the same rights as every other colony and state that existed previously.
Yeah. And, you know, Tim, it's probably even a moot point, because if you have a state to the size of whatever, a California or a Florida or a Georgia or any of these large states, if they want to separate, regardless of what the Constitution is, they could tell the rest of America to go to hell and do it anyways, couldn't they? I mean, what are we going to do?
Well, and this is the point. People need to remember that our government is not, we are not led by masters. The government is us, the people. There's a natural right which is reserved by all men, which cannot be given to any government, and no government can take it away. That is in our founding documents. We have the right to be free and mandated by a constitution that our founding fathers no longer believe in. Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to Abigail Adams in 1787, and it said, "A strict observance of the written laws is doubtless one of the highest duties of a good citizen, but it is not the highest. The laws of necessity, of self-preservation, of saving our country when in danger are the highest obligation." So he's basically telling us that if we adhere to every written law that corrupt government makes, we lose the law itself. And we just cannot allow ourselves to fall into this trap of believing we're stuck with what we have, because they haven't been stuck with what they had with Trump. They have not worked for 4 years to move our country forward. They have worked for 4 years to destroy our president and this country.
Yeah. Listen, Tim, we are beyond divided. You're exactly right. And my sense is that, and as you say, you said a little earlier, there's at least 30 plus million people who are so fit to be tied. They're at the point of just blowing a cork and really doing something. And I always refer to the moment of confrontation, the Lexington Concord moment in our country. I've referenced it many times over the past many, many, many months, and wondering if we're coming to that with this election coming to a head. And now you sort of put it out there in full daylight to remind all of us. And you know, it's such a beautiful reminder, Tim, that the control of the destiny here in this particular relationship of this republic at this time in this country is we the people. That is the power, always has been. That's different than it would be in other countries where they are ruled by a dictator. But yet the forces have gotten in here and they have done a lot of harm to these United States of America. It really is a moment of pause, isn't it, Tim?
It is. It is. And we have to look and we have to pause and we have to think where we're at and what we're going to accept. They have spent the last decades trying to teach us that they are the ultimate decision makers for our nation. They have tried to convince the new generations that it's their decision that matters, not the people's. Totally against the Constitution, totally against their oath of office. They have tried to take power that power does not exist. And no senator, no congressperson is immune to the people's will. Right. It's just a fact that we have to recognize and say no. And these senators on the Republican side on January 6th need to know how serious we are.
That's right. That's exactly it right there, because they represent us. It's representation. That's what it is. They don't own us. We own them. And that's a point I'm always trying to remind people, which you've done it so well here today. Are you going to be in Washington for this rally on the 6th?
I fly out Monday. I will be there.
Yeah, fly out tomorrow. Wow. And so you'll be there and you'll see. And again, you've been traveling all over the country. And you, as I understand, so you've invested a lot of your own hard-earned money into this thing and trying to save this republic, haven't you, Tim?
Yes. It is not cheap to travel, let me tell you that. And I'm also going to be shooting some videos for America Out Loud of people and talking to people in the rally.
Please do. Awesome, Tim. Absolutely awesome. Again, you really make us think here today, and you're listening here to really a colleague, a friend. I mean, Tim is a historian, is a constitutionalist. He's a patriot, loves America, and you hear it here. This should give us all pause a little bit to think here. Listen, we are talking about a political and spiritual battle for America. It's as big as we could possibly imagine, people, right at this moment of time. But we're coming to somewhere now. We've been talking about this, and here we are. And you all know it. Everybody listening here knows this. I'm going to bring on a special gentleman next here as we continue on with this conversation on the political and spiritual battle for America here. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio. The question and the theme I've put out throughout the program today is probably a little different for some of you, but it really to me is the battle, the political battle on one side and the spiritual battle on the other. And I look at this as a political and or spiritual battle for America. This has been building for a long time, as we've been discussing here. Now, let me bring on right now a gentleman, first time on the program here, Pastor Rick Stevens joins me. He's a diplomat at the Wesleyan Church in Cape Coral, Florida, co-founder of the Florida Citizens Alliance, and they provide solutions for education. And Pastor Rick is one of those unusual people that is not only a man of the cloth in the church, but really focused on education and trying to get this generation to step up, but also very politically astute. So it's a very interesting combination here. I started the program today in talking to Alveda King at the top of the program. And I presented this fable or parable to her, and I'd like to present it to you right now, Pastor Rick, and remind listeners of what we're speaking about and have you respond to it. And here it is. If you go to the Southwest desert and catch 100 red fire ants as well as 100 large black ants and put them in a jar, at first nothing will happen. However, if you violently shake the jar and dump them back on the ground, the ants will fight until they eventually kill each other. The thing is, the red ants think the black ants are the enemy and vice versa, when in reality, the real enemy is the person who shook the jar. That is exactly what's happening in society today. Liberal versus conservative, black versus white, pro-mask versus anti-mask. The real question we need to be asking ourselves is who is shaking the jar and why? And I present that to you, Pastor Rick. Who is shaking the jar and why?
Well, thanks for having me, Malcolm. I think that is a great illustration and a great question. And I think because so much of what we're seeing going on these days has to do with that which is right and that which is wrong, we have to understand that the jar is being shaken beyond ourselves. And as you mentioned, this really is a spiritual battle. And the enemy of people, the Bible refers to him as Satan, is certainly shaking the jar and certainly pushing people in all kinds of directions. And I agree, that's what's causing the problem. And we need to return to the one who was and is to come. And he's the solution to this kind of a problem.
So you believe the one who is shaking the jar is indeed Satan. It's the evil forces, Satan, yes?
Why else would we see such a huge divide between our political parties as we see now? It's never been clearer. I know Christians get a little nervous when they talk about politics, and so many people say, oh, if it's political, I'm staying out of it. But we've allowed people to frame that in ways that just aren't so. We need to understand that every time someone we elect, whether it's to a city council, a county commission, whether it's to our state house or to Washington, every time they cast a vote, they are saying this issue is either right or it's wrong. And that's what's going on these days. And we're seeing this huge divide because we're being driven in one direction or another, and we're being shaken without perspective and without guidance. And we're allowing these forces of evil to drive a wedge between Americans. And we need to rise above that. We need to overcome that. And we need to understand there is right and there is wrong. There is good and there is evil. We need to do what's right and pursue that which is good.
Well, Pastor Rick, I hear your message, and it's a message we beat the drum here loudly every day to try to get what you just said across. And the challenge is there's a really very large percentage of America who has turned it all off. They, as you say, they're not paying attention, let alone in the political world, but in any other world either. They've gone through life as sort of empty vessels. There's a lot of that playing out, actually, in our country. Now, you know, America now has become, 245 years in, and we are, about 330 million people. We've grown a lot, as I pointed out on this program today, over the past 245 years. In all your years, have you ever seen, this is a moment where people seem to be pinching themselves. They really can't believe this is all happening. And I think you're seeing that on both the left and the right side of the aisle. We are really red and black ants at this point. And it seems like we're at that moment where we are just being tossed out onto the floor from the jar as we approach these crucial dates coming up in Georgia and Washington, D.C. with the election. It's a kind of a tipping point almost. What is your sense of all that now, which is really what we're going to experience between now and, January 20th at the inauguration?
Well, I think you're right. It is a crucial time. It may very well be a tipping point that we hadn't anticipated, but the divide is so extreme and the reactions are so knee-jerk that we're seeing people just lash out, just like you mentioned. And when that happens, people aren't reflective. They aren't trying to consider what's going on. They don't look past the apparent issue to the deeper issues. They don't begin to ask themselves, now, why is this political perspective manipulating me this way? Why is this other person manipulating me a different way? And I think people are smart and can sort it out, but they need to stop and realize that they're not always being told the truth. They're not always being told the whole story, and they need to look beyond that and to realize that we can be used by these powerful forces if we're not careful. And that's where some of our discretion, discernment, wisdom comes in. We have to pay attention.
Yeah, but what's happened now is America has, a lot of people would argue America has become more of a godless society, and they've been working on that for a long time. That didn't happen this year, 4 years ago, or even 10 years ago. It seems to have been building for decades. Let me read you this. I mentioned this upfront in the program to folks, and I think it's very interesting. This is from a brand new current article on America Out Loud, which I think says something. And let's think about this a moment. The unprecedented collapse of morals in America from a country in which right and wrong were clearly delineated, America has become a free-for-all of the drug abuse and sexual deviancy, from gay marriage to LGBT to transgenderism to abortion. America is now the least God-fearing and most immoral nation in the world, bar none. How the mighty has fallen from first to last in less than a century. Now, that was some pretty strong words that were laid in my lap here today. And I want to ask you, what does that all sound like to you? And is that the problem?
Well, it is a strong statement, and it is kind of alarming when we take that all in. It's a lot to take in. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the writer is onto something very insightful. And I do think the church has forgotten its moral authority and has forgotten its obligation to speak truth to the culture around it and to engage the arguments, engage the discussions, engage the disagreements with a perspective that helps people understand this is what God has said. This is the right direction for us to go. This is the wrong direction. And when you begin to do that, I think people can begin to listen. Not everybody will embrace it. Of course, many will reject it. But we have the obligation to step up instead of stepping back. We need to take that responsibility, and we need to speak up and help people understand so that they, in their conversations with their neighbors and their friends, can offer a different perspective, a word of truth, a guidance that leads to wisdom instead of to chaos.
It seems to be a power struggle in America, and the decline of a society that was once had much higher values, and now here we are. So is the spiritual battle using the political figures as tools again, as evil forces to separate America back to the red and black parable on ants, and back to that tipping point to where we are? Is this more of a spiritual battle than a political battle?
Well, it's hard to know whether it's more of one than the other. There's no question that it's a spiritual battle, because we can clearly see, as you mentioned, the dynamics of right and wrong and how those play out. I think it's a political battle because whether we like it or not, the arena of politics is where public policy is made, where these decisions are made. And so you can't overlook that. I think that the church needs to come at it from both. There's no reason for us not to be involved in speaking the truth forcefully and authoritatively. But there's also no reason that we shouldn't be engaged and involved with the people that represent us and talking to them about that which is right and that which is wrong. It's a two-pronged thing. Why should we give up one for the other when we, I think, have a responsibility to do both?
Okay. As a man who is well balanced between, again, the church, our Christianity, our faith, the education system, the K-12 and the education of our children, and being politically astute and understanding what's happening in that world, what do you, give me a moment to what you see ahead and what your forecast is at this. I mean, listen, there's best case, there's worst case, and then there's what does my gut really say? When we wake up 30 days from now, what kind of an America will we be living in?
I have long said to people when we get into discussions of one kind or another that the American people are still smart and capable, and we need to help them have the opportunity to develop the country they want to have. And we may be facing a divide that cannot be reconciled. I recognize that. I think it is absolutely a crucial time. I'm deeply concerned that when our media outlets don't tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, how do we expect people to know better? But I really believe that the American people, at least the America that I've seen and still see today, has a lot of resilience, has a lot of capability. I believe people want to turn back to God in ways that they haven't experienced before. I think people are open to that. And one of the reasons I think that is this: everything is broken. Everywhere we look, people are talking about how this isn't working and that isn't working, and we need to fix this, we need to fix that. Well, there will always be problems to address. I get that. But like no time that I've ever seen, have we seen so many people talking about so many problems and looking for solutions and desperate to find them. And to me, that's a perfect opportunity. Mm. In fact, it's as though God is opening the door and saying, drive the gospel through this because people need to hear and they want to hear and they're willing to listen.
You're suggesting, and I think it's a beautiful way to end this broadcast, is that this is an opportunity. And I often suggest that to people, but I love the way you just put it out there. And a lot of what I've discussed early on is this red America and the blue America. And we've gotten to this point where we want to cease to exist together, back to the red ants and the black ants, I guess, basically. And the divide has become very, very apparent. But I like the way you say the problems are everywhere. That is so accurate, Pastor Rick. And yet, but on the good side, there are many people looking for answers and solutions to these problems. So maybe that creates a tremendous opportunity for us to really step back in this country. I think this is a powerful message right now that we're delivering, Pastor Rick. My golly, listen to this. Is this the opportunity where we can step back, really take, you know, this all into our souls, our minds and hearts, and really come out with a better America on the other side? It's a profound point in our history, a profound question, is it not?
It's true. This is a great opportunity for the church to step up and for the people of God to speak with clarity and conviction. I think it needs to start with the pastors, because the pastors understand right from wrong, and they need to say to the people, this is right and this is wrong. And we need to help each other explain it to the culture in a way that they can hear. Sometimes we just talk and we don't think about helping people hear what we have to say. And when we as pastors can begin to do that, then we can help the people that come to our churches do the same thing with their friends and neighbors. Sometimes it's not the message, it's how we help people hear. And that's where I think we have such a great opportunity. The message of the Bible hasn't changed. I think we go forward and we ask the Lord to make a change that we could never imagine, but have always hoped for.
Amen. Pastor Rick Stevens, you're listening to there. And it is an absolute moment for us to step back in this country. And, you know, there are often times in the history of anything, really, where you have to reinvent yourself. In fact, it's one of the basic principles in the corporate boardrooms. And it's a basic principle about everything in life. And perhaps this is the way we need to look at that right now, my fellow Americans, at this moment of time. That this is indeed an opportunity where America can step back and reinvent itself for the next, really, 245 years as we continue to leap forward. It is a remarkable time in history for sure. Incredible message today about this political fight, but more so the spiritual fight here on planet Earth and what's taking place. And whether you are a believer or not, my friends, there is an absolute fight of good and evil on this earth right now. We continue to tell you about it, and you've got to decide which side of that fight you're going to be on. That's a big decision in your life, and it's one that will have the greatest impact on each of you. Thank you, as always, for being on the journey here with me. Up next, Michael Johns will join me on Viewpoint Presents as we continue forward. It's time to get involved and get loud.